I had some thoughts this week about the coming of the Lord Jesus. We know that when he came, or before he came, the angel of the Lord appeared to Mary and Joseph. And he told Joseph, "Fear not to take unto thee Mary to be thy wife," or to, "She is your wife, but don't fear to take her. Take thy wife." He said, "That which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." We know that the angel told Joseph in Matthew 1:21, "She shall bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for," or because, "he shall save his people from their sins." This time of year, people always think about the birth of Jesus Christ, don't they? I mean, it's on, hopefully it should be on everybody's mind, not just giving of gifts and all that. Now, when her time continued and she got on up, that clock don't even have any hands on it. I don't even know what time it is.
It does, you just can't see it.
It's a trick clock.
That's a trick clock, I see. You did that, didn't you? When her full time came, and she was with child, and her pains come upon her, the angel appeared to the shepherds who were keeping the sheep and said, "Glory to God in the highest. Yeah. On earth, peace, goodwill towards men." Now, that didn't mean that there would be peace on earth between men. That meant that, you know, as far as no wars or anything. But he was the very embodiment of peace. That's the first and only time that peace ever was on this earth. Now, when Jesus came, he not only heralded his arrival to the shepherds, but the wise men came and sought him and brought him gifts. We know that Jesus came. History records that a man named Jesus came. And some people believe in him historically, but not everybody believes in him spiritually as the Christ of God. Do you all see the difference? There's one, it's one thing to think that he came as a mere human and that he was born of a woman. That's, you know, that's a matter of history. But the understanding that Jesus is the Christ comes from God. Now, Jesus in his own words, and I want to go to several places today where Jesus in his own words described what he was come for and what he was not come for. There's a big difference. There, if you ask any number of people, why did Jesus come into the world, you'll get about as many answers as people you ask. But let's go to what thus saith the Lord in the word and see from Jesus' own mouth why he was come. Now, he said in
I usually don't use this thing for this, but there's a lot of things, and we won't get to them all today, but I hope that your appetite is whetted to understand why Jesus came. Now, he didn't unfold his purpose at the very beginning, did he? I mean, the angel said he's going to save, you call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And this Bible is an unfolding of not only, you know from that verse that he's going to save his people, but you don't know who his people are. You know that he's going to, but you know that he has a people. If you knew nothing else, you would know from that one verse that Jesus was born a male and a son of a virgin, and that he is here to save. That means save, not propose, not offer. He's going to save his people, and you don't know who his people are, but you know he has a people. And you know that he's going to save that group from their sins. You don't know when he's going to do it. You don't know how he's going to do it. You don't know all the circumstances surrounding it, but you know that it's going to happen. Now, Jesus continues on, and in Matthew 5, he says, think not that I am come to destroy the law, to do away with the law, or the prophets. He said, I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. That was one of the reasons that Jesus came, was not to destroy, but to fulfill. Now, all in the interactions that Jesus had with these Pharisees, what did they say? What was their declaration at the end of these chapters, at the end of these of the book, close to the crucifixion? What did they say? They said, "This man is going to come and take away our place and our nation." They said, "He's going to mess up our playhouse." Jesus said, "I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill." You know, a lot of people don't like Jesus. Even now, they don't like him, do they? Because God will get in your face. He'll tell you how to live. He'll tell you what you're doing wrong. And people don't like for people to tell them that they're doing wrong, and it makes them mad. But Jesus didn't come to destroy men's lives. He came to save them. He didn't come to destroy the law. He came to fulfill it. That means perform it as God intended for it to be performed without fail. Now, there's a bunch of these things that Jesus said. Matthew 10:34 says, "Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword." What does a sword do? It divides, doesn't it? It cuts, doesn't it? That's what a sword does. And in verse 10 to 35 says, "For I am come," this is Jesus, "I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law." Now that doesn't sound, you never hear people talking about that, do you? You never hear people, everybody just loves everybody, you know? That's what everybody thinks Jesus is all about. But my friends, he wasn't telling us that we ought to be divided, but when it comes to him, we ought to be all together, but the simple fact is, you got some that love him and some that hate him. You got some that want him dead, and you got some that want him to be alive. Peter, when he said, "I'm going away," and Peter said, "No, you're far be it from you to do that." And Jesus said, "Satan's done entered you, boy." I mean, you look at this, they wanted him, they didn't understand. The apostles didn't understand why Jesus had come, did they? It's an unfolding. You turn the page and you learn a little bit more about why he came. But he didn't come to send peace on earth. A lot of people think, used to anyway, I don't know if they do it anymore because I don't watch beauty pageants, but every beauty pageant contestant would get up on the stage and in the speech part of their doings, they would say, what do you want? You know, and she's like, we just want peace on earth. Well, I'm sorry. It's not going to happen. Why? You know why? Because sinners live here. That's why. And there will never be peace among nations. There'll never be peace in families. There's never going to be peace among states even. And there's certainly not going to be peace in Washington. Unless they all agree with Jesus Christ. If they all agree in Jesus Christ, they're a whole lot closer to peace. And you know, the world, what peace the world has, it's written on paper. You know, they're called peace treaties. And you know how good they are? They're broken by the time the ink dries on the paper. Because sinners made the pact. But you see, Jesus said, I'm not come to send peace on earth, but rather division. And he is the point of division. Y'all understand that? That's what you got. You got some people in the family that's going to follow Jesus and some people that are not. And these Jews, even when they, you read in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, especially John, and you're going to find almost about four or five times, and it says, and there was a division among them. Some people believed and some people didn't. So he came not to bring peace, but a sword, a division. Now, he says, for judgment, in John 9 and 39, he says, for judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind. You know what that has to speak to? That speaks to an attitude that people have. You remember when Jesus said right after this, the Pharisee said, are we blind also? And he said, if you were blind, if you're blind, you'd have no sin. But now you say you see and your sin remains. Because if you think you've arrived spiritually, if you think you got it all figured out, then you are self-righteous. If you have the attitude that Jesus don't know what he's talking about, but I do, then you're blind and your sin remains. You know, that's a big subject about judgment. For judgment I came. Because really, the first time he came, he didn't come in judgment, although there was some judging that he did, but not that final kind of judgment. His role as a mediator is the reason why he came the first time. There was some judging that he did on some matters, but mostly it was all about how God would look at things and not how man looks at things. Now, Jesus' presence, y'all, it always did something to people. Whenever Jesus was around, it did something to people. It caused some people to love him and to leap, and some people it infuriated. Some people didn't want him to live, and some people didn't want him to die. Some people loved him, some people hated him. Some people wanted to grab a hold of him and not let him go, and some people couldn't get far enough away from him. Jesus always causes a division, don't he? Always. Now, but his presence was always accompanied with wonder and amazement on both sides. You know, when he cured the blind man and his mom and daddy said, well, he's of age.
He can speak for himself. I think I counted it up. Them Pharisees asked him, how were you made to see? Seven times, I think they asked that man. He said, and he finally got frustrated, and he says, I don't know about how all that happened, but all I know is that whereas I was blind, and now I see. And then they said, you all together are the devil, you know, you whatever, you just get out of here, you're a nut, basically, is what they said. Well, he was in his righter mind than he ever had been. Because it's just that plain. If you see, Jesus made you see. Now, we can go on. Matthew 9 and 13 says, but go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. That's a whole sermon in itself. For I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And you know, that's a big problem in America, really the world today, isn't it? Because there's not a lot of people. I bet if you went up and asked somebody, are you a sinner? They'd say, no. Well, Jesus didn't come to call them to repentance because apparently they don't have anything to repent of. But my friends, Jesus came to seek and save those that are lost. And if you know that you're lost, you're found. If you think you've arrived, you're lost. It's a paradox of the kingdom of God, isn't it? You know, there's a lot of paradoxes in there. You know, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. You want to be exalted, you got to humble yourself. A lot of paradoxes in the kingdom of God that don't seem that they are that way, but that it is that way. Walk by faith and not by sight. That's a paradox. Now, for the Son of Luke 9 and 56, for the Son of Man is not come. From Jesus' own words, he's not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. The thief cometh not, in John 10 and 10, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. You know what that's talking about? That's talking about not only eternal life. I am come that they might have life. And that might is not a maybe. That might is a mighty. That word means mighty. That they mightily will have life. That's eternal life. And that they have might have that life more abundantly. That means living it right now. And you do that where Paul says, you know, we shall be saved by his life. That's what it's talking about. We shall be saved by his example because he's the great example, isn't he? If we live and like Jesus taught us to live in his word, we'd be living, eternal life don't start at the resurrection. Eternal life, I guess, for our experiences starts at our regeneration. And that's when we ought to be living the good life. We ought to be living that life abundantly. The more we learn and the more we understand about God's word. Now, he goes on. Wow. John 6:38 says, for I am not come to do mine own will. I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, that of all that he've given me, I should lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day. You know, people, I get the idea, that's an easy way to put it, because it's not just an idea. Well, it is an idea. It's a wrong idea that people promote that Jesus came to offer salvation. My friends, he didn't come to offer salvation. He came to provide it and secure it. And he says, but I didn't come to do my own will. I come to do the will of the Father that sent me. And he says, of all that he hath given me, that means he gave that group of his people to him and he saved them from their sins. Now, if you look at, do you remember the sons of Zebedee, James and John? You remember when they had something to ask the Lord and they came to him and said,
Well, they got their mama to, I think, maybe do it too, because mama asked him, I got something to tell you. He said, what you got? And she said, grant that these my two sons, one will sit on thy right hand and one will sit on thy left. And you know what Jesus said? The first thing he said, woman, you know not what you're asking. You don't know what you're asking. And she really didn't. She didn't understand that she didn't know what she was asking. But he said, are you, and he told the boys, are you able to drink of the cup that I drink of and be baptized with the baptism I baptized with? And they said, yeah, we're able. And he said, ye indeed shall do those things. He said, but to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give. What does that mean? That means Jesus didn't come to make sheep. He come to save them. Y'all understand that. It wasn't Jesus' purpose to put this group of people on his right hand. That was God's business in the covenant of grace before the foundation of the world. In Jesus' own words and out of his own mouth, he just secured forever the doctrine of election in that one verse. There's a bunch of them. But in that one verse, Jesus said, I didn't come to set people or to decide who sits on my right hand and on my left. That's God's business. And that group that he put on my right hand, hey, who are they? They're the sheep. Who's on the left hand? They're the goats. She really didn't know what she was asking. When his mama said one on the right hand and one on the left, really she was asking, I want one of my children to be elect and one of them to be a goat, one of them to be a sheep, one of them to be a goat. She didn't know it. Y'all ever thought about that? Jesus said, I didn't come to make sheep, I come to save them. What's that clock say?
My phone's up there.
Okay. Jesus said, I'm going away. I'm going away. He said, but if I go away, I will come again. Yeah. And that's good stuff, isn't it? Mm-hmm. I will come again. Now, he came first, and then he said, I'm going away, and I'm going to prepare a place for you. That's not talking about the mansion that he's preparing for us, because that was prepared for the foundation of the world, wasn't it? He didn't go up there with a hammer and nails and building us a house. But he did secure that house on the cross. And when he went there, that's the place that he was preparing for us because the legal work had to be done. And he said, but I'm going away. And if I go away, I will come again. That's good news to me, isn't it? And you know what all those disciples did when they were walking in them 40 days after Jesus was resurrected and they were on that road and they saw Jesus as he gave them the last instructions and he just started rising up and they just stood there with their mouth gaped open, gazing up in the heavens, and the angel came and said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing? For he shall come again in like manner. My friends, he's coming again in like manner, just like he went up in glory. Now, I like that, don't you? I like that. That's good stuff to me. To know all these teachings of Jesus' life, even the resurrection and all of that, you know, that's the hinge point. If that ain't real, nothing else matters. But I got to tell you, if all the teachings of Christ, all of his life, if everything that he taught and everything that he did, and we intimate that and imitate that when in our lives, that wouldn't matter much if he wasn't coming back to bring us home. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't matter much, would it? It'd matter in this life, but boy, he's coming to get what he paid for, because he's a good businessman. And he said, none of them are lost. And not a one of them. He's going to come and get what he paid for. I tell you what, that's good. You know, in Revelation, at there towards the end of the book, what did Jesus say? He said, the Spirit and the bride say, come. You know, Jesus came. And you know, there is something to be said about us coming. That's an invitation, isn't it? That's not an invitation for somebody that's spiritually dead to become spiritually alive, but that's an invitation for that the Spirit says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. And my friends, the Spirit will give you rest. He's the comforter. And the church, the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ, this is the portion of the bride. And the bride says, come, and all those who might take of the water of life freely. My friends, if you want to sup at the Lord's table is the only place you'll find it. And if you want to rejoice in the Lord, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is the only place to do it as God intended. And so that's an invitation, isn't it? You come and join the church today. What a blessing it is. May God bless you, is my prayer.